This is Pearls and Swine on Good News You Can Use. I'm Levi. With me is Lisa and Travis. And I don't have any great introduction story today because I am super distracted by this new app I have on my phone. And I've been playing with it. It's an AI app, and I probably should take it off of my phone because it makes the coolest memes ever. And you two probably will be in a few in just the coming days.
Oh, yay.
So we're just going to get right to it. We're going to read a passage that is a very scary passage, the last verse of it. And it's found in Mark chapter 2, and we're going to unpack it here on Good News You Can Use. Lisa, you want to read that passage of scripture?
Sure. We're talking about Mark 2. That's
correct. Mark 2, verse 13.
He went out again beside the sea, and all the crowd was coming to him, and he was teaching them. And as he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax booth. And he said to him, "Follow me." And he rose and followed him. And as he reclined at the table in his house, many tax collectors and sinners were reclining with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many who followed him. And the scribes of the Pharisees, when they saw that he was eating with sinners and tax collectors, said to his disciples, "Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners?" And when Jesus heard it, he said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners."
This story is, you know, Jesus walking along. He sees this guy sitting in the tax booth. Levi switches his name to Matthew. He's the guy who wrote the first book of the New Testament called Matthew. And he is in this tax booth. And to understand this story, you have to really understand what it meant to be a tax collector. And so the people hated them. And they hated them because they collected taxes for Rome and they cheated people. And so they would, if your taxes were, you know, let's say $200, they would make it $220. And they would take a little off the top for themselves and pay Rome what they needed. And so the people thought of them as cheats, as liars. But there was also this bigger concern. These were the people that were supporting Rome. And the tax collectors were Jews, and the Jewish people believed that the Messiah was going to come back and kind of push Rome out and Israel in. And so these people were looking, so the Jewish people were looking at the tax collector and going, they don't even believe in the promises of God. They're horrible people. And so there's this picture here in this text of Jesus going there, and he goes right to like the sinner of all sinners. Think of the worst sinner you can in your head. And he goes to him and says, "Come follow me." And this is what's interesting about that phrase. It's not like a request. It's a command. And then there's like this pause that happens, and somehow they're now at Levi's house, and they're there and they're with all of these other sinners and tax collectors. So I don't know what the Bible doesn't tell us what those sinners are. We can imagine who they are, but they're the worst of the worst, right? And there's these really super churchy people that come, and they're like, why is Jesus hanging out with these really untouchables, these really big sinners? If he's so godly, why would he ever be with these people who don't even believe in the promises of God? And Jesus overhears this somehow, and he said to them, "It's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but the sinners." And that last portion of that passage, whoo, that is a really big, big deal in the scriptures. It's this moment where Jesus really calls out the churchy people in the midst of this. And He doesn't hold back. He basically tells them, "Hey, you need to understand that you're sick too." And I think, you know, being a churchy person myself, oftentimes I think we get we get into this place where we go, "Well, of course, like God likes me. I'm pretty good." And the reality is, the Bible doesn't describe us like that. The Bible describes us all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. we're all booth dwellers, if you will. We're all in the tax booth. We're all apart from God unless he calls us into this.
And that makes me just think of, you know, I grew up in the church as well, so you could call me a churchy guy. But when we have our own stuff, our own sin, our own struggles, it's way easy for us to justify it by looking around and comparing.
The comparison game?
Yeah.
Well, at least I'm better than that guy.
You know, and it's not necessarily like when you're viewing it like that, it's not the comparison trap, but it makes you feel a lot better about yourself when you're like, well, you know, I'm not that bad, actually. And that's not what the point of this is. Like, Jesus is like, the Pharisees are the holy rollers of their time, and they are the righteous ones. They're pursuing, like, the law to a T.
Yeah, they're obedient.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're obedient, which in the Bible, obedience is a good thing.
Good thing.
Right. But it's an incredibly stark warning for obedient people. Like, don't think you, like, because you dressed up your booth, that you don't need the one to call you out who is Jesus.
Yeah, I think too that at the end, Jesus, the way that Jesus words, those who are sick don't have need of a physician, it's meant for everyone to understand that they need a physician. But there is a sense that the way that he words it, the Pharisees, I guess, can get an out. But if they get an out, then they think, oh, then this isn't for me. It's a really strange and beautiful way that Jesus is, his words to me are always piercing.
Yeah, well, the whole idea of going to a doctor, I don't go to the doctor when I have the sniffles. I take a Zona. And, you know, I get it all out of your head or whatever, and, you know, you kind of live. You know you're going to make it, right? What's the reason you go to a doctor? Because you know you can't fix yourself. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you have pneumonia or bronchitis or something that's, you know, a little bit bigger deal. And all of a sudden you're like, hey, I can't do this on my own. I need to go to the doctor. That is what Jesus is saying in the midst of this. You cannot do this on your own. And even if you think you're obedient, you still came from the booth. You were still in that place. Romans chapter 5. It says, but God demonstrated his own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. This is the Apostle Paul talking about this. He was a really churchy guy. And he says that God demonstrates his own love for us while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, Jesus' blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if while we were God's enemies, that's what everybody is, we're God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? And he, what he's saying here, this applies to everyone listening right now. Before Jesus stepped into the picture, you were a sinner, I was a sinner, you were an enemy of God, and the wrath of God was coming your way. That is what the text is telling us. And
well, yeah, and it's also suggesting that you don't get to pick, like, if you're well. Like, that's the other funny thing, right? Like, it's as if the Pharisees have wounds all over their body, and they're like, nope, I'm good. I'm well. I'm fine. I don't need a doctor. It would be as silly as having pneumonia, suggesting that you don't need to go to the doctor. And so that's a funny thing to me as well, that you don't get to proclaim your health.
Well, right, because in Ephesians chapter 2, it says, and you were dead in your trespasses or sins. Dead means that you weren't kind of okay. No, you were dead, right? In which you were once walked following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature, this is so like crazy, by nature children of wrath. It basically says you were dead. You were in the booth. You were the same as Levi in this thing. And God is the one who comes and calls you out through the person of Jesus Christ. He's the one who comes and says, follow me. And that invitation is to everyone. It's not to the good people. It's to everyone.
And what I like about this passage is, you know, those tax collectors were just despised by the people, right? And when you look at sin in our life in that Romans chapter 5, like we were enemies of God, but he still pursues them. Jesus is still spending his time with the people that nobody else wants to deal with, nobody else wants around, nobody else wants to touch or be connected to in any way, shape, or form. But yet his message, his kindness, his grace, and his mercy is still for them. And that's what really trips up the Pharisees, because they're good at looking good on the outside. A whitewashed tomb is what Jesus calls them, and brood of vipers and those things. But yet Jesus' humility and his care and his compassion are for those that are sick. And it just drives them nuts.
Well, I wonder too, like, what do you think the reasons are? It's really easy to see that Levi is in a booth doing his thing that looks like sinful tax collecting. What are the reasons, do you think, that the Pharisees don't quite get that they too are in a booth? Or, like as we said earlier, right, like they're in a coffin, really. If we're dead, we're dead. So what is the reason, do you think, that we don't see that we're in a booth?
Yeah, that's a good question. Like, I think part of it is because of the comparison game, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you see, you know, the guy down the road who doesn't really look so great. He's, you know, has an addiction, or he has this going on. You're like, well, at least I'm not like him. And you think you're out of the booth because you're not like that other person. And I think it's a misunderstanding of sin. It's a misunderstanding of who you are, that you're dead in your trust. You too are dead. Even though that is a different sin or a different thing than you have, you are still in the booth.
Yeah, so what do you think, though, then it takes for someone, whether they, like for Levi, Jesus shows up and he says, follow me, and there's a clear call, and he obviously knows he needs to follow. But what do you think are how is it that people hear the call to come out of the booth? You know what I'm saying?
Well, it's the same thing of, like, how do you know you have pneumonia? You can't stop coughing, right? You got some phlegm going on, right? And I think the same goes true for us. We all of a sudden realize that we are not good. And, you know, I grew up in the church, and I used to start my testimony by saying, like, I was a good kid, right? And then Jesus came into my life, and I was a fairly good kid, like, by other standards. If I compare myself, I was fairly good. But no, I wasn't good. But God did something, right? He demonstrated his love for me, but God called me. It wasn't me doing something. It wasn't me earning anything. It was God intervening in my coffin. I like that. In my booth, my tax collector booth, and saying, come follow me. And until you get that you're not good, it just, like, you might be a good citizen. You might be good in some comparison way. But, like, the reality that you need a savior, like, I don't think you understand the amazing grace that God has given.
It's a recognition of your condition, because I think we've all been sick or know people that have been sick, and they're like, no, I'm fine. Mm-hmm. And you're coughing up a lung, or, you know, your ankle is purple and swollen, and you're like, nope, it's good. I'm going to walk it off, and there's a broken bone in there. And until we recognize and admit our condition, we're going to live in that false sense of reality, because just like the good side of things, like, we can paint a picture of what is good versus what is truly good.
Yeah. And Levi meets Jesus, right? And I think there's this meeting part that happens that it instantly, I think, almost you go, oh, maybe I'm not. And I think that in that following, you get to make that choice of coming after him. And there's, you know, in the Beatitudes, Matthew, I don't know, 5:3, it says, blessed are those who are poor in spirit, because theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And it doesn't, the word poor there is interesting, because in Greek, there's two words for poor. There's, like, poor college kid, like, we were all there, like, eating ramen noodles, digging in the couches for change, you know, bumming a couple bucks off your buddy. The thing about that type of pour, and that's not the pour that's used there. The pour that's used there is different than that. That pour you can survive, right? Like you can bum some money, you can dig in your couch, you can eat 25-cent ramen, salty, delicious noodles. Those things are kind of delicious still. Every so often you get a hankering for them. You can still survive in that, and you're going to be okay. The other word is for poor. It means utterly destitute. It's Jesus uses this in the passage. Blessed are those who are utterly destitute. It's, you know, if you for a word picture, it would be like, this is a horrible word picture, like a child, a baby being set outside. And it has no ability to save itself. It has no ability, you know, the cold is going to consume it. The cold is going, or something is going to take it. There is nothing that that child can do, that baby can do to save itself. That's the word he uses, utterly destitute. And Jesus comes in and Jesus says, follow me. Jesus says, I want to take you out of your booth. I want to take you out of your coffin.
Do you think that there's a lure back to the coffin? Right? Because you could see this point in Matthew's life, in Levi's life, where he's like, I'm following Jesus. He's called me here. But do you think there's a point at which the follow me is harder to hear, or we are called? Do you know what I'm saying? That we become comfortable in having come out of the booth, and so we think that following Jesus isn't a thing that we need to continue to do? Or
I think it might be. I think it's when we miss out on that we're in the booth. Like when we start to go, well, oh, I'm out of the booth now, I'm good to go. And we miss out on the, you know, the amazing grace that God showed us. We don't recognize that his mercy is new each day for us. I think that's when we get called back into kind of this weird place of not really embracing this. Like these people knew and were obedient to the things of God, but they didn't recognize the grace and the Savior that they needed.
But yeah, that's what I was just thinking of being a church person and and how comfortable one might become in the language of the church and all of those things. I'm just thinking of my own story. I too am a church person. And so there's how easy it must become to just find yourself really comforted by the fact that you finally made it out and that there's no more work to do.
Yeah. And yet there's
so much.
There's daily work. Yeah. Not you're not being saved daily, but there's right. daily recognition that you were a person in need of a Savior, and that Savior is Jesus, and you still need Jesus today. You need Jesus every day. And the good news is that Jesus says, I will never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'm going to walk with you. And we get to embrace that in this new creation life that we get to live, this new humanity that we live in relationship to God. And it's just good news.
Well, it's like the Matthew chapter 16, pick up your cross and follow me. Like, you still have to carry it. We're still sojourners on this planet until God takes our last breath, and we've still got work to do. It's that sanctification process.
Yeah, I think that it's in this passage, it's really a call to those who know Jesus. Like, do you recognize that you were in the booth, that you were in the coffin? And do you kind of celebrate that God called you out of that? Because if you don't, and it's not kind of something that is on your mind, and you don't recognize, we live out this grace that we've been given. And if you're not recognizing that you're a sinner in need of a Savior, and that Savior is Jesus, it really kind of goes back to, like, I don't know, maybe you don't really realize where you were at and what God has done for you. I'm not saying lose your salvation thing, but I'm saying, like, do you really realize that you were pulled out of this? And then for those who've never met Jesus before, just let me tell you, you're in the booth. It doesn't make us great that have been called out of the booth. It just makes us a little bit a step ahead of you, that we've taken a step out of it. We've taken a step out of this death that we were in, these trespasses that we were in, and that Jesus because God did something through the person of Jesus. Jesus died on the cross, his blood shed for us, for the remission of sin. Like, we get to have a relationship with God. And it's a pretty amazing thing. That is the good news of Jesus. That's good news you can use.
Hey, thanks for hanging out with us this week. If you guys have questions or comments, or you've got some topics that you'd like for us to cover, we'd love to hear from you. You can email those to travis@evangelup.org. If you want to catch up on any of our previous Pearls and Swine episodes that have aired here on Good News You Can Use, you can search Evangel Houghton on your preferred podcast platform, or you can always go to evangelup.org and find those as well.